Welcome to Creekside Chats with successful multifamily real estate investors. Dr. Allen chats with successful investors exploring their journey from setback to triumph. Through this window, we glimpse the truths that inspire our guests to invest abundantly and flourish in all areas of life. And now your host, Dr. Allen.
Welcome to Creekside Chats with successful multifamily real estate investors, where we delve deep into the lives of our successful guests to learn the secrets of thriving to flourish abundantly in all areas of life. I'm your host, Dr. Allen. My guest today originates from Denmark via London and finally settling in the USA. After a career in telecommunications and IT, he shifted his focus to multifamily real estate investing, specializing in underwriting, due diligence, capital raising, and investor relations. He has invested in thousands of apartment units, mobile home park lots, storage units, mortgage note funds, and private money lending. He is passionate about teaching and helping others achieve success, and his mission is to get more people to invest in private placement for the strong cash flow and equity growth that they provide. Welcome, Jens Nielsen.
Thanks, Alan. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today.
Well, I'm so glad to have you, and I'm looking forward to getting to know the person behind the success story here. I'd like to start with actually going back to your childhood. If you can bring to mind a memorable experience that as you look back on it, you go, yeah, that really was a formative time in my life and it helped me to be the person I am today. So it could be, your childhood could be one from 50, whatever you think is a formative experience.
Yeah, I think the most formative experience that I had was then at the age of 23, I was living in Copenhagen and kind of just, you know, didn't really know what the future was going to bring. I had a decent job and, you know, doing the things you do when you're 23 years old. But then I got the opportunity to move to London, England for a job. And I spoke English, but not that well. And I just happened to run into this guy through some work. And he's like, hey, we really need somebody with your skill set to come work for us in London. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I can move to a big city, experience what it's like to be there and, you know, grow my skills as grow my English skills and everything else. So making that decision, every time I look back, that was really the, you know, a fork in the road for me. And, you know, I pursued this one direction and that has then led me to moving, you know, to the US and everything else. So that was really the main thing that changed my life dramatically back there 25 years ago now. So
what was it like moving from Copenhagen to London outside of the language experience? What was it like?
Yeah, you know, so I grew up in the countryside in a tiny town, and I moved to Copenhagen. There's about 1 million people, and then to London was eight some million people, right? So I didn't have much experience living in a big city, what it meant to be surrounded by people 24/7, right? So that was a big thing, just dealing with the pure size of that city and figuring out the subway system and or even driving on the wrong side of the road and also understanding the culture, understanding what it meant to fit in, because it was very different. You know, England had I think more conservative culture around, especially around the corporate world and things like that. I had to go and buy my first suit actually, so I could go into an office. It's crazy, right? I was actually, you know, in telephone exchanges and I had to wear a suit. And I was like, that's crazy. But that was the expectations. So just adjusting to the new culture. And that taught me to adapt to and respect other people's cultures and just say, hey, I'm a guest here. Let me figure out how I can best fit in, not force my ideas on other people, essentially. So that was an experience there for sure.
Well, of course, they're both European cultures, so it's not like going from an Asian culture to a Western culture. But still, I mean, there's always those adjustments that one has to deal with. So you knew English, so it wasn't like you were just starting from scratch there. I think most Europeans can converse in English. But what was it like really to actually go from a Danish-speaking country to an English-speaking country? What were the biggest obstacles in that?
Yeah, so you know, the English I had to learn was, you know, high school English and through my work. And I think my vocabulary was somewhat limited, so I could converse around technical subjects and stuff. But then going there and have to pretty much do it, you know, 24/7, especially going to noisy places and listening to people with different accents. And I remember sitting in a pub and people were talking around me. I was like, I don't know what's going on. You couldn't understand that. So that took a while to kind of like be able to listen and understand, right? And then I think when you start, you know, initially you're kind of translating between the language you hear and your internal dialogue, but then over time you shift to thinking that language as well, right? So once you get there, I think it becomes a lot easier.
I've never been, I don't know another language other than English. So I've often wondered about if you get to a point where you think in a language other than your native language. But yeah, I guess you would eventually have to, if you're really going to really delve into the culture and society there. Yeah. Well, you talked about a fork in the road, I guess the decision actually to leave Copenhagen in the first place and go to London was certainly a fork in the road. But if you can think about another fork in the road that has been a major fork that choosing the road that you chose has made all of the difference in your life.
Yes, I think, you know, that there were other things, but I think kind of more recently, you know, I continued my IT career for many years. And I think the most recent kind of fork in the road was about 5 years ago, when I decided that if I wanted to get financial freedom, if I wanted to build a life of my dreams, I couldn't continue to work for somebody else. And that's what I discovered in like real estate investing. So I decided, you know, that 4 or 5 years ago, I was like, I need to build a real estate portfolio for myself and my family so I can gain some of the freedom that I have been looking for years, you know, that the freedom of time, the financial freedom. So the fork in the road there was basically making that decision that I want to become an investor. I wanted to learn what it meant to be an investor and grow that skill set. You know, I could have continued in IT. I could have continued to grow, you know, to rise up in the corporate world. But I also realized that it was kind of like, I was tired of sitting in an office every day and I needed something different, and real estate investing was kind of the path that I chose. So that was the other, I think, a more recent fork in the road for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was it that actually led you from going, I'm tired of working in an office here, I want something else, and you found real estate? So talk to us about the decision process there and why it was that you were attracted to real estate as opposed to other possible endeavors there.
Yeah, so I had, you know, over the years explored other avenues, at least kind of I thought about different directions to head in. And everything else just looked like a job. I could become an IT consultant. I could become, you know, some other, anything else that I looked at just looked like another job. Yeah, maybe working for myself, but I'm still exchanging my time for money. And it wasn't until I picked up an audio book. It was one of the like a real estate investing book that I picked up. And it really like kind of turned on a light bulb in my head, if you will, where I saw, okay, well, this is the way that so many people have generated wealth that gives some time independence. Not say it's completely passive, but once you get some stuff set up, you don't need to work on it every day, every minute. And I was like, wow, this is really the way to go. And luckily I had, you know, saved up some money over time. So I had some starting capital, I think helped kind of just take action early on. But that was really just the thing, right? You know, I discovered an avenue that I felt like could give some, where time and money wasn't completely tied together. We always say a lot of time for money, right? And that's really the flaw that I saw and everything else I thought about. So that's where real estate came in. Mm-hmm.
So when you look back over your life and you contemplate the last 10, 20, 30 years of your life, how are you different now than when you were in your 30s, in your 20s, or your 30s? And what accounts for the transformation, if there has been transformation, and how have you changed emotionally, psychologically, and even spiritually? And you can define spiritual however you want to there.
Yeah, I appreciate that kind of deep question there. And from a mindset, I have developed, I have much more confidence in my ability to figure stuff out and solve problems. You know, I had a bunch of limiting beliefs early on that something, oh, this is too difficult. I don't know how to do it, so I'm not even going to try. I still think, you know, there's still things that are plenty difficult to do, but I have the mindset that with enough study and surrounding myself with the right people, I can figure out how to do it, you know. I'm not saying I'm going to be a brain surgeon, but, you know, putting together real estate deals, you know, 10, 20 years ago, I wouldn't even consider it because I was like, I don't know how to do it, so I'm not even going to try. Now I'm like, I'm not sure how to do it, but I'll figure out how to do it. So that's been kind of a big shift on the mindset side of things. You know, emotionally, it's interesting because I'm working with a coach right now, and I've always had an ability to maybe suppress some of my emotions, you know, and I'm getting more in touch with things, you know, the ability to experience when I have negative emotions, experience that. So on the flip side, I can also enjoy the positive emotions. Because I think as men, we sometimes have a tendency to just kind of level out our emotions. So we never really feel happy or never feel super sad. We just kind of shove everything down there. So now I'm working a lot on being able to experience both sides of that spectrum, to feel sad when I'm sad and feel happy when I'm happy. And that's something that I feel is important to us as humans, that ability to really experience the range of emotions that come to us. So that's kind of the emotional side. And then on the spiritual thing, I'm not a religious person, but I do believe that what we give to the world and to the universe and the thoughts we put out there are going to come back to us, right? If we express a lot of negativity, express a lot of, you know, bad thoughts, if you will, that's going to impact the people around us, going to impact the universe as a whole, and that's not going to bode well for us. If we instead put out positive vibes, positive ideas, and positive intentions, that's going to come back to us in a positive way and get the outcomes we're looking for. And I have seen that basically just envisioning or visualizing the outcome I want and how that actually has come true in a lot of aspects of my life. So I think those are kind of the things that I've seen over the last 10 to 20 years, the change in my life. So.
Well, one thing surprises me is that you said that you had limiting beliefs in terms of, essentially your ability to figure out things, which is surprises me, being that you were in the IT field and telecommunication, which, well, takes a certain amount of intellectual capacity to start with. And so you were certainly doing well in that field. Where did those negative feelings about your abilities come from?
So I think as a technician, we develop a certain level of skills and we become very good at that and we feel very comfortable in that area. It's like, yeah, I can figure a technical problem out. But then once we get kind of comfortable in that, like, I know this is my area of expertise, we get more hesitant to go outside it because we're afraid of that failure. We're afraid of putting out, being vulnerable and experience something that, you know, I don't want to go back to be a beginner in something, but now I'm very good at something. And I read this book and they call it The Tyranny of Competence, that we're so good at something that nobody can do it as well as we can, but we're also afraid of stepping out and just become the beginner again. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I had developed, that really good technical. I was like, well, there's all these other things out there that I don't know about, and I don't want to risk the failure by going and pursuing them. But also that later on that realized that really limits my growth, right? Because if you don't take the risk of trying something and failing, mm-hmm. you can't grow as a human. So I think that's really where it initially came from. And the growth has been to be able to go outside that now.
Well, what triggered that insight that I'm comfortable here and this feels good, and yet I need to step outside of this comfort zone? What actually pushed that button?
Just one day realizing that, if I just go on this current path, that's it. That's my life. It's going to look like this for the next 20 years or whatever before I retire. And there's something I realized, hey, there has to be more. There has to be some new things out there, some new opportunities, right? And that started, kind of getting outside my comfort zone. Somebody once told me, your amazing life is on the other side of discomfort. Mm-hmm. And I kind of took that to heart. I said, well, what is the worst thing that can happen? Well, I fail and I can go back to my current career or whatever. And that's really, I think, what pushed me. And I tried to, get some small wins, get some confidence. I think the way to build that confidence is by, you try some stuff and you build that and you then try a little bit more and you kind of grow and you see the success as you move forward. And if you have, failures along the way, you also learn from that and move forward.
Well, talking about failures, it's nice to talk about all our successes, but every successful person knows that they've had to deal with setbacks and disappointments. So I'd like you to think about a major setback and disappointment that you've had to deal with, and what have you learned from it, and how did you get through those difficult times? Before you answer that question, if you could just take a moment, Jens, to tell our viewers and listeners how it is that they can get in touch with you.
Absolutely. So my email address is Jens, J-E-N-S, at opendoorscapital.com. So that's opendoors with an S, capital.com. Yeah, I'd love to reach anybody reach out to me and talk about real estate or anything like that. So
the question, think back to a major disappointment, major setback, and how did you deal with it? And what have you learned from that?
Yeah, and I think the major thing that really comes to mind when kind of that also helped with my personal growth was, it's actually not that long ago, it's only 2 years ago, I'm into mountain biking. I live in the mountains, I do that. And I had a pretty bad crash on my mountain bike 2 years ago. I had a kidney laceration from that. Mm. Ended up in a hospital with internal bleeding, and I was literally in the hospital for 5 or 6 days. I mean, so bad. I mean, it was in pretty bad shape there. And I think that was a huge wake-up call, both for me, that life is not, I'm not invincible, and life is not going to carry on forever. I mean, it was, not that I was in deathbed, but it was pretty scary. And my wife was, pretty upset, and it was challenging lying there and realize, oh wow, is this it? I mean, is what's going to happen next? So, but at the end of that kind of helped me with that idea of, hey, there's more I want to achieve in life. There's more that I can get out of this once in opportunity that we have. And I made the decision that, well, this should not be a defining moment for me. This should be, well, it should be a defining moment, but not in a negative way. It should be a defining moment in a positive way to say, okay, I am getting almost a second chance here to go out and do something amazing with my life, right? And I used that gift to come back and really focus on getting better. I was in the hospital for a while and got home and had to spend some time recovering and everything else. And I was like, okay, I can be negative about it, or I can figure out what's the positive outcome of this. And the positive outcome is really, hey, I have control over how I react to this, how my mindset is around this and what are the opportunities I want to create for myself in the future. So it really kind of gave me additional fuel to push forward and grow. So, you know, I try to make the best of a bad situation. And I think also, you know, right now we're going through this whole COVID crisis. I think a lot of people are seeing that as a terrible thing to them, and it is, but we can choose how we react to it. We can choose what future we want to build in this changed world of ours, right? And that's what I'm focusing on too.
Well, we're coming to the end of our time, Jens. I'd like you to talk just a little bit about what it is that you do in terms of your training and your coaching.
Yeah, so I mean, I mentioned that we haven't talked much about my story, but I mean, we invest in real estate. We do large deal syndications and around the country. And I help new investors that want, you know, the place I was in 5 years ago. Somebody wants to buy their first or second or third deal. They want to learn the mechanics around investing in multifamily real estate. You know, what does it take to connect with brokers, to connect with bankers, to analyze deals, that part of it. But also, what are the person you need to become in order to be successful in the real estate investing field, right? So I incorporate some of those mindset, personal growth skills that I've learned. So basically, I work one-on-one with people in kind of a boutique real estate coaching that and I really just help people grow. And I've done that for the last few years. And it's really rewarding for me to help people. And I've seen a lot of business and personal growth in people that I've been working with. So that's what I offer.
Sounds like a great offering there. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Dr. Allen. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for tuning in to Creekside Chats with successful multifamily real estate investors, brought to you by Steed Talker Capital. Steed Talker Capital works with both new and established investors nationwide, creating opportunities to flourish in all areas of life. As part of our efforts to make the world a better place, Steed Talker Capital contributes to activities and organizations committed to better understand the equine. These endeavors attempt to enhance the human treatment of horses worldwide. Steed Talker Capital, working for a world where all creatures, great and small, flourish abundantly. For resources to enhance your well-being through multifamily real estate investment, connect with us online at capital.steedtalker.com.